Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Body Wisdom Podcast, where we discuss the mind-body connection and its relationship to health and well-being. My name is Tammy Bulmash, and I'm very excited to introduce today's guest, Alessandro Fattorini, who is joining us all the way from Bologna, Italia. Alessandro discovered the Alexander technique in 2000 after experiencing some back pain due to a posture problem. A friend suggested the Alexander technique might help his back. Alessandro was struck by the sense of lightness he felt at the end of the lesson. The way he reached that lightness was an indirect way of approaching the problem that he had never thought of before. He sensed a new responsibility for the way he moved, not only regarding his back pain, but in other areas of life as well. Soon, Alessandro started noticing more ease in his relationships with others, as well as in front of an audience. He noticed he was more coordinated in physical activities and in playing the electric bass, and decided to investigate. This led him to enrolling in the 3-year training course to become a certified teacher of the Alexander Technique Center in Amsterdam. Alessandro's passion for the somatic work of the Alexander technique led him to explore other techniques and approaches such as Feldenkrais, Tai Chi, Qigong, Watsu, Aichi, archery, and the Japanese sword. Alessandro also recently graduated from a 2-year course for body awareness for musicians by Eleni Vosniado. Alessandro performs in theaters and concerts and has written articles for magazines and hosted radio programs. Qualified as somatic movement educator and infant development movement educator by the Sound of Body Mind Centering, he became a yoga Pilates teacher. Alessandro practices yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, and playing the double bass. Today, his passion is to introduce the Alexander technique to a wider audience, such as performing artists who want to find a way to be free from tension, to those struggling with the demands of computer-based office work, and for those with back pain who would like to do without it, as well as teachers and practitioners of yoga and Pilates who want to explore possibilities in the prevention of injuries. As F.M. Alexander said, there is no right position, only a right direction. Hi, Alessandro, and welcome to our show.
Wow, what an introduction. I'm really curious to know more about myself. I didn't remember all this. Thank you for inviting me into this show. I'm very excited to be here. It's like, wow. I mean, to be here around, yes. With you. I'm in Bologna right now, in Italy. Yes. And fantastic, your work, what you are proposing things. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled that you're here. I want to talk about a lot of things with you today. Soon I'm going to ask to talk about your video, which really I have to say it's one of the best Alexander Technique videos I've ever seen. It's so fun. It's so exciting. It's something that I'd love to talk about today on our podcast, which is Words Within Words in the Alexander Technique. And first of all, before we get started, you mentioned Bologna, Italia. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your corner of the world.
Now the situation in Italy, or in Bologna, which is north center, mm-hmm. Way between Florence and Milan. It's very colorful, Italy. We have regions, we have 20 different regions, and we have regions which are in red, some regions are in orange, and some regions are in yellow. So it's very colorful. We used to have green and white and red as our Italian flag. But probably the government is deciding to change the Italian flag into a lemon and orange and tomato. We keep the tomato. So the original was tomato, mozzarella, and basilico, of course. So the moment is very colorful. Yeah. And I think, Italians this moment are facing this period as anyone else in the world, I suppose. At the moment here it's cold, and because it's winter, the moment of our talk, and so we spend a lot of time in our homes, and so yes.
Well, that's fantastic. And I don't know if our audience is has picked up on your sense of humor, but this is foreshadowing the video and your sense of humor, just to give you some kind of a clue at who we're dealing with here, because you are very funny. You are just so funny. So I want to talk to you a little bit about your sense of humor. But before we do that, I want to just talk about our topic today, which is going to be words, because I know that, and you know that when students first come to the Alexander Technique for the first time, they're confused by the words that we use. And I also think that our community, the Alexander Technique teachers, are confused by the words that we use, as you will notice on many of our forums and discussions of trying to decipher what the founder of the Alexander Technique, F.M. Alexander, really meant by the words that he used. So words are always a great topic for discussion. So with your permission, Alessandro, I would like to share your video and we can talk about the words within the words, silence and pronunciation. Is that all right with you?
Yes, okay. You have my permission.
Okay, wonderful.
FM was a man of words. He explained his ideas in words, gave orders or directions in words. Words have hidden meanings, discovered by young minds when we teach young students. They enjoy playing with words, and so can we when we teach them the technique.
Hello, my name is Alessandro, and I teach the Alexander Technique. Yes, I know Alessandro, Alexander. But if my parents would have given me a different name, my life would be different. But can you imagine if Alexander's first name was Alexander instead of Frederick Matthias? What's your name? Alexander. And your surname? Alexander. Alexander, Alexander, a repetitive name. Repetition makes a habit. And habit is really something. It's not just a bit, a habit with no H. A ageless habit. Do you remember when Alexander was gasping? A reversed age. Habit's original meaning, one of them, was dress. Yes, habit as a dress. You go to the wardrobe and you open and you choose a habit. Just a habit for every occasion, just like a dress. Do you know the proverb, a dress doesn't make a priest? Does a habit make Alexander teacher? So a habit doesn't make you what you are, but only what you appear to be. And you don't want to just to appear. You want to be or not to be. The question is the quest on or is the quest off? Which habit do you want to inhabit? Where do you want to dwell? What do you want to do well? Alexander used mirrors for getting better at what he was doing. He didn't look at the back mirror to check if he was being followed. He looked at the front mirror to check how to proceed. He was looking for an image that would make him reflect. The self-reflected, the reflexive self. And it would make distinction. The good and the ill, the good and the bad. And of course, there is also the ugly. Distinguish and unite. The pattern of the patterns is quite a constant in living. Quite universal, actually. Distinguish and unite. When Alexander wrote his books, he would put them on a shelf and he would call this action the use of the shelf. That's where he got the idea for his third book. Talking about books, his second book, Constructive Conscious Control of the Individual, known also as CCC, the Italian translation of this book has been one of the most affirmative books of the year. CCC, also translated in Dutch as ja. The Alexander Technique is based on some principles. Let's hear some of them. Primary control, a certain dynamic relationship between the head, the neck, and the back. Head. Do you know back? I have a relationship with the neck. Back. Oh, really? Me too. Head leads, body follows. Head. Come on, body. Come on, body. Come on, body, body. Use affects functioning. You and you use, plural. Fun is part of function. Function is fun in action. Do you function better when you're sad and tired, or when you are happy and having fun? There is use in having fun in functioning. Better use less poor use to reach good functioning. Inhibition. Inhibition. Inhibition is not showing. When you go to an exhibition, you go out. With inhibition, you stay in. With inhibition, you don't show up, you show down. You're not showing off, you're showing on. So stay with your ambition as your mission with inhibition. Directions. Excuse me, how do I go from here to where I want to be? Oh, yes. You wait for the green light till your neck is free, then you follow the direction of your head going forward and up, and then while lengthening and widening on the back, you follow the direction of your knees, and there you are. The whole self. There's a hole in yourself. You probably haven't seen it before. It's just there, between your and self, between you and you. W. By putting a W before the whole becomes a whole. I'd like to conclude with an Alexander paraphrase. Be aware of the spoken words, because you might hear what the words have to say to you. Thank you very much for your attention.
That is so fantastic. I hang up when I watch this, and the body buddy, or the buddy buddy, like, come here, buddy buddy. It's just so funny. You can miss it, but it's just hilarious. I mean, you're so funny, and you wrote this all yourself, which just makes me think you should have been a comedian if you're not already one too. So I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to make this video? It's just so fun. Where did you get this idea?
All right. Yeah, last year, it was in March last year, I was in Bristol. I was in Bristol for a couple of long weekends where I attended a postgraduate training for an Alexander teacher working in education with Judy Clayman and Sue Mary. Hello. And so among many other interesting things, there was this idea of adapting the language according to the persons you are speaking to. Right. And of course, this is something we do it all the times. You know, when we speak to a friend, we speak differently than when we speak to the Queen, for example, or to the Pope. You know, every time I go to Rome, I speak differently to the Pope than I do with my cousin. I mean, my cousin is more cozy, you know. So anyway, back to Bristol is not an Alexander direction, back to Bristol. But so back to the time I was in Bristol, we were examining the way of explaining or communicating Alexander principles to student age from primary school to secondary and beyond. I was struck by this idea of allowing myself to use those terms in a different way. So in the words I was accustomed to use for years, you know, like primary control, inhibition, direction, faulty sensory appreciation, positional mechanical advantage, use effective functioning, the head leads, the body follow, one for all for one. No, it was the Three Musketeers. But, you know, all these, you know, sometimes specific also words, being able to allow myself to use other words was, you know, such a sense of release that was allowed, you know, that I could do that. And so the idea of, I mean, I have to say that I feel affection for these words, you know, they are, it's like they are, I mean, they are belonging to the big family of Alexander community where I, you know, I feel also I belong. So every time I feel I hear these words, it gives me this sense of home, as a home word in a way. But they can become obstacles. They could interfere, you know, with the aim of facilitating an experience to a young student. You know, if I would ask to a 7, 8, 9 year old, could you go into the position of a mechanical advantage? You know, I mean, the response could be unpredictable. You know, we have this mocking gesture in Italian body language, which is a coordinated activity of hands, arms, and mouth. It goes a bit like this. Now, you need to keep a hand like this, and the other. If you want, you can try also.
I'll let you do it.
The other hand here, and it's about timing. By tapping the elbow, the other goes like this, the end goes like this. Perfect. And we have to make also whistle, so the total result would be something like that, and that means like, oh, are you crazy, what are you talking about? So I mean, this is the necessity also to adapting words, especially in this particular context, which is teaching to young students, and even to convey this message of the Alexander principle, even to adapt the language, you know, to do so. So I think knowledge works best when it's in a process, you know. So knowledge itself could be considered as a process. It works better not when it's static, but when it's ongoing. And so digging into other ways to convey this message, I began to also exploring creativity for expressing the meaning of these Alexander principles. And that I remember also including sign language. I remember some years ago during my training, I came across this, I think it was Direction journal, and it was about how to convey this a message to non-hearing, to deaf people. When I was in Amsterdam, I was living in Amsterdam doing the training, I had the privilege, in a way, to work as a sound technician for a deaf theater company.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, sound technician for a deaf, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, and I was, so impressed and so wonderful to see how they were using hands and arms, body expression, facial expression to just in a few detail gestures to express a concept. And so the idea of getting to the essence of the Alexander using some gesture is something we explored also in Bristol with Judith and Sue. So we came to this idea of saying stop, just like this, stop, right? Think and expand. Okay. So stop, think and expand. So by playing also with our, our system, our bodily gesture, it's a way also not getting into certain embodied code. Our expression, and so that help also can help to memorize, can serve the memory if we write in our body in a way, and so that the idea of this started to grow there, and later for a July convention, which was supposed to be in London. And after March, you know, with the pandemic, everything, you know, turned the earth stopped, and the world just rushed, right? And turned the other way around. So that was the decision was to make it online, and I was asked to do a short video on it. And I remember the idea of what shall I talk about? And they say, do something funny, you know.
You're funny.
It's difficult. It's like, okay, sleep. You won't sleep. And there was this obstacle in the way of language. I wasn't sure at the beginning if my playing with these words would have the same effect that would have in my own native language, which is in Italian. I do play with words in Italian, of course. And I wasn't quite sure of if I would have the same result in English. So, and the test was, if this will make me laugh myself, maybe there is something about it. No, so I just started to write this. And then I proposed to Peter Bacok and Judy Clayman, as you marry, and they said, yeah, okay. And I was quite, surprised in a way. But that was fun. That was fun. So this how this idea of the video came out. Yes, to answer your question.
I could see you when we were watching the video. I could see you still laughing. So if you can make yourself laugh, then you know you're funny, you know, because I was just, it's so funny. It's so clever. I don't know if you also had a fascination with words before this, like, do you have, because it seems like you really are drawn to the nuances of language, and maybe because you, I don't know how many languages you speak, but I know you at least speak English and Italian. So I think as being bilingual, you probably have even more of an affinity to words, I would think.
Yeah, what I found out in this investigation, in a way, how words can contain some deeper meanings, and the key to access to these meanings could be the sound, how the word resonates with other words or within the words itself. That could be the word can be containing some other words. So. This is something that it's really fascinating for me, especially when you have to choose when you're writing. You know, you've been an author, you know how, when to choose, shall I choose one word or the other one?
Right.
So going back to the etymology of the word, sometimes that's the revealing answer to it. So you know which one to choose. And so, I found out some interesting results, like in the word habit, mm-hmm. for example. Habit meaning the original meaning of the word habit was dress. You know, habit as a dress, as I said in the video. So being habit so central in the Alexander technique, because it has to do about the way we behave, the way we move, the way we think, and this has to do with our habits, with our patterns. I use also the word pattern, which comes more from a somatic approach, and I like the word pattern because it has maybe a visual effect in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that could be more traceable in a way. And it's a word, maybe it's a more specific word. And habits is a quite common word, especially we use it for bad habits. But the habit, not necessarily, is bad. There are good habits too, like brushing your teeth before going to sleep, for example.
Yes.
And habits. What can we say about habits?
Well, how would you, I guess, differentiate like what people think of habits, like smoking, that's a bad habit, gotta, you know, get rid of that bad habit or sleeping habits. But that's how I think we know of habits in everyday language. But how would you differentiate that to people who aren't familiar with the Alexander technique? Because habit is a word that we use as an example of a word with kind of a double meaning for us, at least in the Alexander technique community. So how would that word shift in its meaning, or maybe not shift, but maybe open up to become broader in its meaning with the Alexander technique lens?
Yeah, I think in the attempt of bringing the principle of the Alexander technique more comprehensible to a wider audience, so to establish more a common ground in a way, so something that can be, you know, understood, that can resonate with the other person, the use of analogy is very important. And when analogy is motivated by, say, by the root or by the original meaning of the word, or the word within the word, that gets more legitimate in a way. So considering the habit as a dress, I like this analogy because, I mean, think of, Tammy, think of when you are wearing some sportive clothes, for example.
Every day. Sporty clothes every day. That's my uniform.
how I mean, you feel more engaged with moving, with having more a sportive
attitude. Okay, no, I'm mistaking sporty with pajamas. No, I meant pajamas. Sporty, not so much.
All right, well, you know, all right. Suppose you're wearing a sporty dress. That makes you sort of feel certain attitude, which is different than if you're wearing a classic, if you go to a wedding or something. Mm-hmm. The way you behave in a way is according also to the dress you're wearing. Think of the importance in a theater of the costume, for example, that has to fit the character. So the character is wearing a certain dress because he's acting in a certain way. What I suggest is that when we are wearing certain habits, certain dresses, certain clothes also, that could inspire us in a way of a certain attitude. So habit has to do also with attitude. And attitude has to do so much with the Alexander technique. It's about attitude as well. Attitude is also synonym of posture in a way, you know. So all these are related, are connected. But coming back to another of a dress, this idea that we can choose, as we can choose a dress in our what call you closet? What you keep in the closet? Skeleton is in the closet, not the dress, also in the closet, right? So as we can choose as the way we want to feel in a way. We can have some choice on what we want to cultivate, what we want to be inspired by the habit we choose in a way. So I think this is something to consider in a way, these analogies as a means whereby, you know, where can I buy the means?
The means or the jeans?
Where to buy jeans, for example, or some clothes, or some dress, mm-hmm. or some habits. Mm-hmm. You know, so habits as a means.
Yes, well, you know, this is becoming a habit now. How I'm going to be looking at words is going to, I think, become, I think, a good habit, because I think it's so important to explore words and their multiple meanings, especially habits. And I think that's so central to the Alexander technique, because when people, you know, hear the word habit, they're like, oh, you know, I don't have any bad habits. I quit smoking 10 years ago, and, you know, whatever it is, that then you kind of introduce them to different kinds of habits in the Alexander technique lens. And it's a great opportunity to, like you said, instead of thinking about bad habits, to also look about a way to introduce good habits, to create an opportunity for these good habits that are really natural. They're natural and innately in us, these habits that we had as small children, to kind of make room for them again, I think, to come to life.
And a habit, in order to be installed in a way, it takes some time. So there are certain ways. I mean, I don't pretend to be exhaustive on the subject. Of course, there are some fabulous books like the Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, or also Atomic Habits by James Clear. But in the Alexander, I look at it as a sort of adding like layers. So when a habit is established, so making a habit of being comfortable, for example, is something that we need to practice in a way by repeating. And then when is we start to have this habit of looking for being comfortable, it's hard to get back into uncomfortableness. When you open the door, they say when you open the door of awareness, once it's open, it cannot be closed. It doesn't close
Yes.
again. It doesn't. I don't know. You need to call someone to fix it in a way. But then, why bothering? No, once it's open, it's open. So in this term, this stems has to do with a sort of maybe evolutionary also prospect. Okay. So by building, by building habits. Habits is really to consider not just a bit, as I say in the video. Habit is really something.
Yeah, it is something. You also mentioned something that I think that the words that you touched on in your video are so important because you made them very easy and accessible to understand, but they're pretty, I don't want to call them complicated, but they are a bit complex terms to kind of wrap your head around. Also, that say, for example, saying let your neck be free to somebody who's never had an Alexander Technique lesson. Well, my neck is already free. What do you mean? So like something like that. And so inhibition is another word. Inhibition from the Freudian sense, when you let down your inhibitions, it's kind of like go wild, get loose, don't worry about consequences. And inhibition has a completely different kind of meaning in the Alexander technique, in our language, in our AT jargon. So could you maybe explain? I know this is a hard one because it's a big leap to go from inhibition from the traditional Freudian sense that people know of the word to what it means in the Alexander technique world.
Yeah, I'm already sweating.
Let go of
But
your.
I think the traditional or the jargon, the Alexander Technique jargon, is very interesting. It's very fascinating. It has a sort of resonance, an historical resonance also. So it's a sort of a document, it's a recording of something that was conceived in a certain period, in a certain time. So it has some value, and that has been repeated all over through the decades by people who are passionate about it. So they are charged words. So these words have some power in a way. So I really believe in the power of words, and we can bring many examples. Just a word could be yes or no, make a total difference. So from day to night, just one word. Would you marry me? No, coming on. No. So, and it's just one word, little. There is some theory, of course, about this, some theory and practice, and that's been not just for decades, but also for centuries. If you would think of the practice of mantras, the sounds within the words, especially in the Sanskrit alphabet. So there is a resonance in our body. So we can go really very very deep and very subtle with this. But my idea is to keep the tradition. Tradition is important also. No, is looking back. Of course, we know how important it is to have a back supporting us. We have the back part is supporting our front body. Back is a strong part. Our front body is more the receiving part in a way. So we are sustained by the back from our past, and we are going, and receiving the future in a way. And And so the importance of using these words is a matter, I think, of timing, also of when to use them. And if they are difficult words, I think we could use simple words for beginning. And then when simple turns into difficult, I mean, it's the other way around, actually. A difficult thing, is difficult before it is easy.
Yes. You know?
So there is a triste transformation. And so the word like primary control or inhibition in Alexander terms, or direction, you know, contains a concept in a way. But this concept is like, I need to crystallize this concept, and I use this this word. But before, maybe we have to make it this easy to understand, to comprehend. It's like a little, as like the I call it a knot to a fazzoletto. It's something to remember. You know? So we need some aids also to remember things. And so these words are like, I don't know the word in English, scrigno, that you open, wow, you find a treasure. There's so much in it in there. It's, I mean, the specific weight of this word, you can't carry it in your bag.
Yes.
So you need a trolley, at least. What are you carrying? Oh, just Alexander words. So in the digital area era, we need to use some lighter words. I think in order to go to the heavy stuff. No, in Sanskrit, in the yoga world, we have this word guru. The word guru, which is also used, of course, commonly. The meaning of the word guru is something that is heavy, boom, pesante. But not, heavy. It's like, come on, you are so heavy. Heavy in a sense that it has a weight. So the idea of having weight is something also, I think, is related to what we do in the Alexander. It means feeling our own weight. And feeling our own weight means also feeling that we are here. It's a way of presence. When we are standing in the... in front of a chair, for example, in Alexander, we can feel the whole weight in our 2 feet, our little feet. So this idea of being present or having weight is also, something to consider, especially when we come to the weight of our head.
Yes.
That's not scientific. So, yes, please go ahead.
No. I'm thinking about the weight of my head, thinking about the weight of it, sitting on my neck. But
there is no specific scientific proof that our ideas have a weight. So if we think of heavy, something heavy, we think of feathers, for example, it changes. But it definitely does something to our attitude if we think something, light. We feel lighter. Actually, in sign language, this is the sign for lighter.
Oh, fantastic. I wanted to ask you something before, before I forget. You mentioned something really funny, and clever in the video about the in and inhibition. What did you mean by that? You were, like exhibition out, inhibition in, and I thought that was a really clever way of kind of bringing in. When you first thought of that, what were you kind of the picture that you were kind of creating in your mind? That
I think. Has to do with balancing the inner felt sense with our surroundings, with other people, with objects, with our environment. And this balancing could be realized Only if we see this, I mean, when we balance something, we balance between two things. You know, that's where the balance where is the balance? Okay, hold it. Okay, here's the balance. Yeah. So this balance here is between our inner world and our outer world. So the word inhibition contains the word in. So that made me think about this inner sense how to the idea of taking time also of not get lost in the others, not get lost in the object we touch, for example, and so keeping this balance, keeping this awareness, which on the other side of the scale, if we are too much within us, then we cut off from the rest. So inhibition for me means also, in a more plain words, it means stopping. No, that's the word we use, stop. But even better, pause. I like the idea of who was Judith? I think Judith Klemer, of the word pressing the key pause. You know, when you're playing or used to play, you know, a CD, for example. You know, a CD. Remember CD?
Yes,
I play pause, and then again. I think of the effect it has in music. You know, a pause is something that is written there. And it has the same amount of ink, so the same amount of importance that the notes you have to play. So a pause, it is a note. A pause is music. You need a pause to breathe, for example. So while you are pausing, you are still playing in music, and the pause has an effect. You know, say a break for effect, for example. So if I say something important, I'm going to tell you something very important, and that is, So a pause has an effect, and I think in English it's called a break for effect or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pause for effect, break for effect.
Yeah, effect break, and so it breaks something, and when you break something, you divide, and so creating a space between the two broken parts. So, and there is, you know, in that space, that space, there's an opportunity in a way. So pausing has to do with this space, I would say, the space between before and after. Because we know what happened before, but we don't know what's going to happen after. So, and making this pause is the place where maybe we can have a part in it, on to make realize what we would like to have been to have realized, for example. Right? So inhibition is also, when we talk about space, there's a space also, space for what? We can do many things. Space, we can dance in space, okay, but we can also make some wish. So it's also a space for wishing. Exhibition is also a place out mind that inhibition is also a place where we don't want to stay too long. No, because if I make a pause for effect and I take it too long, then it will lose its effect.
Yes.
It's like, oh, come on, what will you say? No, so it has to do with timing. So pause has to do with timing, inhibition has to do with time, stopping has to do with time. Okay, you stop, you know, red light, you wait for the traffic, and there you go. You can't be, you know, after a while you start to get nervous. So it has to do with time, inhibition has to do with time, and direction, which is another important part of the principles of the Alexander technique, I would say it has to do more with space, while inhibition has to do more with time, timing. So, I mean, these two are inhibition creates space, but it's with time that you go across that space.
Right. Sounds like
Am I?
physics. Sounds a bit like a physics class.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of, well, that's what the Alexander technique, I think, experience can feel like in the beginning, is kind of, it's so broad, and it's new concepts for anyone that doesn't have an inclination towards physics like myself. You know, that was kind of just how the experience was to me at first, is like you said, the weight of it, like the guru, you know, the weight of all of this understanding that you don't understand, like this idea of I don't know anything, which is kind of like how when you start the Alexander technique, you realize you know less and less and less than you think that you knew, which is also the magic of it, because peer teachers are in their prime in their 80s and 90s in the Alexander technique. What other profession could you really find other than in the Far East, you know, where teachers are revered for the knowledge they have accumulated, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Understanding is also, I mean, understand is such an important word in Alexander. And as I was saying before, I mean, this knowledge in is a process, not just something that is just given to you. Okay, take it, boom, take inhibition, take primary control, take a direction. It's the process you make of this concept that makes it so important. Understand also so important in Alexander when we stand in, like again, you know, before a chair, if we think that we are standing, but what's underneath, you know, under the standing, you know, and what is upstanding? We think of the direction, opposite direction, for example. So,
Yes.
again, the words can you know
Yes.
can stimulate this sort of reflection if we want to,
Yes.
if we like to.
It's fantastic. I love it. I wanted, before I let you go, and I don't want to let you go just yet, but I wanted to kind of talk about one more word that has just such a vast meaning or broad meaning in our world, and also in not the non-Alexander technique world. But when you were talking about inhibition, you were talking about pausing or stopping, and I was thinking about when before GPS, and I would always get lost and never know where I was driving to, which is kind of like a metaphor, I think, for life in many ways. But you know, it's like stop and ask for directions, right? Which I never did. So I would just call my mom on a payphone back in the day when there were payphones, and just not figure out, you know, where I was going. And but it's the same idea with the Alexander technique, where in this way it can apply where you want to stop and ask for directions. But here the directions are very different. So I was wondering if you could maybe also give me your interpretation, because I love hearing the Alessandro version of the Alexander technique, the Alex and Alex. So if you will.
Direction, as you say, when you're asking direction, where do I have to go to, where shall I go to go where I want to go? No, so if you don't know before, so how can you answer such so that makes you questioning where, also where you want to go if you talk about directions. Direction, my idea also is that when FM, which I say hello because I know he's listening to us in this moment, use this word as director. You know, he was from a theater, man, he's coming from theater, so as director, he's directing his actors or actors. So the idea of directing, oneself, but in that case, you are the actor. You are both the actress and the director. I use also the word. I read that you know, use the word order, orders. Giving order, which for some people it might sound a bit direct. Order. You order something to someone, and you don't tell me, what to do. And also, Alexander is this specific thing which I enjoy so much of being indirect. No, and about this, there's this power of being indirect that we find also in mythology, where what's his name? Perseo could defy the monster with the snakes in her hair, the Medusa Gorgone, that she had the power to turn into stone by her, just by her look. If you look her in her eyes, no inhibition, forever. But he used an indirect way to cut her head by looking at the reflection of his shield. So he wasn't looking at her in the eyes, otherwise we would turn into a stone and you know, the story would have another ending. But using the reflection on the shield, so okay, he calculated, zakite, and cut her head. So this indirect procedure, as you know, Pedro de Alcantara, which I say also hello to him, ciao Pedro, would say, is a particular of the Alexander technique. And this is something such a resource of facing a problem or something. How do I solve? Because our tendency is to go, wow, to go straight to it. And the straight line, not necessarily is the most efficient. If you will look at our bodies, for example, if we look at our bones, there's no such a thing like a straight bone in our bodies. Maybe just the tibia, kind of straight, but all the rest are all, you know, turning. You know? And so the straight line is mostly an idea, and also making it indirect. Maybe we find something else on the way. You know? So making more, you know, circular ways. And then we come back again to the world of patterns, of habits as well. So they are all interrelated. And this word, another thing I want to say about the word order, which is an imperative, you know, in grammar. You say an imperative in English, I suppose.
Imperative, yes.
When you do this, do that. Mm-hmm. But in grammar, there's not such a thing as the imperative in the first person singular. So that means that I cannot tell myself what to do. You know, do this. You know, it's like imploding. It's me telling me what to do. I tell I what to do. That's creating a sort of division, a split. Who is right? No. And so grammar is also telling us something. Again, words telling us something about I cannot tell myself something. So I need to find a way, an indirect way. So the word order reminds me also of something that you order, you know, like something you order pizza, you know, and then they deliver it to you, deliver, not deliver. And you have to be careful about deliver. In fact, when they deliver too much pizza, for example. Direct, looking at the words, direttore, regista in Italiano, director, the second part of the word, rector, means, in Latin, means right. And again, that's not a right bone in our body. So the idea of right and wrong, or right and left, and we go back to directions, is something to consider, which is quite present in Alexander's idea of you know, what is good and bad. Of course, there's also the ugly, but there's something else. So all these words can suggest some deeper meanings, and my idea is not that I'm telling you know, the truth in a way, but it's something to find out for each one of us, you know? Because if we consider ourselves as again as attitude as a whole. No, as a whole with a W in front of us. No, there's no hole in ourselves. If there's a hole, we are losing air, like an inner tube of a bicycle. No, the air is coming out and the tire gets flat. The tire is tired, you know, and we need energy to make it spin. So we can't afford a flat tire. We need to rest, maybe in a semi-supine position for a while.
Yes. You are fantastic. You are so funny. You know, it's kind of like coming full circle, because in the beginning, when I was reading your bio, there was a part that you quoted for F.M. Alexander, when he said, "There's no right position, only a right direction." And I think if you had to kind of give a one word description of direction, that would maybe a one sentence description that might be the most vague yet clear description about really thinking about direction, not as a position or destination, but as an open-ended kind of exploration of where we're going.
Thank you, Tammy, for asking me this. I will remember. I will remember you. I remember who said this thing. I apologize for writing you a long letter, because I didn't have time to write you a short one. No, so coming to a synthesis in a way, is, you know, it's that's a hard work.
Yes.
So synthesis of the word direction. I like the idea of a compass, right? And that could be an image of la rosa dei venti, or the winds, where the winds are bringing you, where the winds are leading you to. How do you go against the wind? How go with the wind? How are you gone with the wind? going with wind doesn't mean necessarily that you wait for wind on your back to go forward. If you take the boat, the sailing boat, for example, they go against the wind and they turn, they transform. I don't know how they do, but you know, there maybe someone the audience can explain us. They go against in order to go forward. They go against it. They turn into favor, and this fascinates me.
Yes.
So direction is again a dynamic process of taking a force and maybe redirecting. But again, we need to know the direction. Where do I want to go? Want
right.
to just be there, or my intention?
Yes.
And this is something that mostly we find out as we living.
Yes, it's fantastic. Is there any final words? Words that you'd like to share? Words of wisdom, perhaps? No pressure.
Yeah. I like the title also you choose for this, Words Within Words. And now you said again, Words of Wisdom. There's a lot of W in this, like in the www.at.
Yes.
The worldwide... World Wide Web, mm-hmm. No, the World Wide Wild, the Wild World,
yes,
and the World Wide. So this connection, being in a connection, I'm much enjoying this conversation with you. I'm in Bologna, Italy. You are in Florida, is mm-hmm. that right?
Yes.
And so, but we're still having a, you know, good time here and a good mm-hmm. conversation. And so yes. This is bringing us more together. So I think a final word could be connection, which by the way rhymes with direction.
Hey, Alessandro, thank you so much. It is so fun to talk with you today. Fun in function, fun in conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy, and I really appreciate your work. I'd like to say, you know, hello to everyone listening to this, and you'll be listening to this. Thank you for attention. Grazie, Tammy. Thank you.
Thank you.